from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, Ryan, you of all people can answer this question. How similar are Red Sox fans and Cubs fans?
Very similar. They both love to drink beer, and they're both very passionate about their team. And I think that was one of my favorite things I loved about both places. It's always like, hey, let's get them tonight. And it was always more than just you and your teammates against the other team. It felt like an entire city and an entire community against the other team. And to me, that's super special.
I do know what you mean, Dem. I'm taking it all in, my friend. Look at this.
2-2. Going to go the fastball away. Not the location he wanted, but it worked out as Fielder swung and missed. 7 Ks for Dempster.
Craig and I shared an interesting incident. We went golfing. Our good friend George Perez, I think Mark Patsy was there at the time.
Yeah, the Oakland A's manager.
Yeah. It's funny, you guys are both managers and I'm behind a desk. So, you're on
the board. I feel like we're in the right jobs, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, believe me. That is Ryan Dempster talking to Craig Counsell. Was that a shot by Counts? I think we're in the right jobs. No, I think it's just saying Counsell's trademark cutting honesty. Counsell would not be great behind a desk. Ryan Dempster sure is. He joins us on the phone instead. You can see Ryan, of course, on Intentional Talk, which is a great show these days on MLB Network, and sometimes on Marquee. You can find him at Marquee at Dempster 46. I'm sitting there watching postgame of a 17-0 loss last night, Demp, because that's how my evening was going, you know? I'm that guy. And I see the Cubs and the Red Sox logos next to your face, and I'm like, is there a more perfect human that I can ask to come on the show tomorrow morning than Ryan Dempster? And my answer is no. So good morning, sir, and thank you for the time.
Oh, dude, morning, Speaks. Yeah, it was always fun seeing those two logos. You know, the best, like I said to you back in the text message, the best years of my career in both places. So, you know, pretty fun watching these two teams duke it out.
Yeah, we played a little snippet of a great moment when you and Jake Peavy are in the intro line before a World Series game 2013, and you guys both, like, and for the Red Sox, you took a minute to, like, make sure that you, like, sensed it and like, expressed gratitude about it. That's got to be up there, like, in terms of, like, greatest moments of your baseball life that you're mentally present for, is a moment like that with Peavy, who I know is a good friend.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I think, I like what you said, gratitude. You know, I think recognizing the moment that where we are on the biggest of stages, and soaking it all in, and you recognize it so that you kind of appreciate it. And also, you know, sometimes when the lights are the brightest and you're on a stage like the World Series, you might take a little bit time, maybe not recognizing where you're at. And so I wanted to let Peeve know, like, look what we are, man. And, like, we both were just like, we're in the World Series, bro. And, like, it's what it's all about. It's what you work so hard in your career year to year in the off season, trying to, you know, attain, trying to get to that final and have an opportunity to win. And we were, I wouldn't even say fortunate. We were, determined to win that whole thing. And it worked out well and a great way to kind of ride off into the sunset after winning that World Series. So special. And Peeve and I talk about that a lot, man. It was a lot of fun, and that was the culmination of it all.
Demp, fun broadcast last night. Boog and JD talking up the ballpark, and it's the first ballpark I ever loved. Like, I fell in love with that place as a kid, and just seeing, like, they threw Taylor McGregor up there on top of the monster seats, and just like the weird ladder that's still there going up the monster to grab the baseballs out of the net. Even though the net's not there, they've left the ladder, which is kind of adorable. But I wondered from like a ball player's perspective. Tell us about some memorable quirk about being a ball player in that ballpark, whether it was good or bad, just something that you had at Fenway that just wasn't like that anywhere else in baseball.
Yeah, it really is so unique. You know, it is the most unique ballpark in the big leagues. Like, if you go to most places, Wrigley Field included, you sit, you know, down the left field line 10 rows back. It's pretty much the same look from the right field line 10 rows back, or if you're in right center or left center, they're about the same. You know, Fenway is a different look everywhere you sit in the ballpark. You know, it's quirky. It's not your traditional, you know, symmetrical place. And then you get the green monster. And the bullpen to me was something that just always stood out. Because when you're warming up, you know, as a starter, it's one thing. But as a reliever, when the fence is, you know, waist high, the right fielder's standing right there, the fans are right behind you, the other bullpen is on the other side of you, it's just special. It kind of takes you, it feels like you're almost like at a high school game or something like that, and brings you back to being a kid. You know, the memories of warming up in that bullpen in game 6 of the ALCS against the Tigers, and we were down 4 runs, and we started putting together a little rally, and base hit and a walk, and here comes Big Poppy, you know, and our bullpen coach Dana Lamangi at the time said, "Demp, if we're up or if we're down 3 or 4, you're in. If we're down 2 or less, Taz is in." And I looked at him, true story, and I came set as I was warming up, and I said, "Hey, Dana, what about when we score 4 right here?" And I pick my knee up, and I throw the pitch to home plate. Poppy at the same time hits the ball off Benoit. It goes fluff. Torrey Hunter floats over the wall, and if you watch the replay, Mani, who's our bullpen catcher, actually catches my warm-up pitch, turns to his left, catches the home run ball, and switches the balls, puts the home run ball in his back pocket, and then get ready to throw me back the pitch. Torrey Hunter slipped over the wall, cops throwing his arms up in the air, making his 15 minutes of fame. It was like, that is like my favorite memory of Fenway because, A, the moment, and then just being in that special place, that unique bullpen warming up.
Dude, I've never talked about that with you. You're there and seeing that. You're seeing the cop with the arms raised right there. That's amazing.
Everything. I run over to Torrey Hunter, and he's like, oh. The wind sucked out of him. He's moaning. You know, he sounds like an 18-wheeler using his Jake brakes down the hill. He's like, oh. And he's all painful, and I go, "Torrey, you all right?" And he says, "Oh," and I go, he goes, "Did I catch it?" And I go, "No, but you made one heck of an effort, man." Sorry about the grand slam. That's what I said to him. And then he went back out there, and I love that dude, man. He's one of the all-time gamers. He'll play hard for you, but I'm glad he didn't catch that one.
Wow, that's awesome. I'm remembering, I think it was in the 86 World Series, like Dwight Evans didn't make a catch over there. I think it was a Lenny Dykstra home run, if memory serves. And he like was really close to making the catch and he didn't. And he immediately just like leaned on the wall facing the fans and he looked like Charlie Brown or Linus on the brick wall, just like bemoaning his fate, you know? But because that wall is waist high like that, it lends itself to just a unique visage in so many different ways.
And you have the pesky pole, right? So you have this ability to hit a 270-foot home run. You hit it right down the line and it bends around there, and then you have that short wall, and countless times I saw great catches by Victorino where I swore he broke a rib because he ran into that thing. Or you'd watch visiting players, you know, I watched guys flip over it. I watched all, and then the triangle. It is just such a unique ballpark. It's the bounces and the different things that can happen. And, you know, you're like, oh, I don't have a shot to catch that. And, yeah, maybe I do, you know, right fielder. Yeah. I always said, if you can play right, Evans was, you know, him and Victorino, to me, I talked to Peter Gammons about it, the two best right fielders that probably ever put a Red Sox uniform on, to be able to play that corner, because that's like nothing else in baseball.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was there for Nolan Ryan versus Roger Clemens in 1989, dude. And Mike Greenwell hooked two homers around that pesky pole. I was underneath the diamond vision. I was as far away as you can be in a ballpark, and it's still in the top five of best ball games I've ever been to in my life. You know, so
yeah, incredible place.
Oh, just outrageous. All right, let's get current. Did you see anything from Ben Brown that was different last night? They hit a lot of balls hard off him.
Yeah, well, just, you know, 10 of 18 first pitch strikes. So look, career, or, you know, season low or career low in first pitch strikes, right? So 1-0, that moneymaker, like we talked about it last night pregame, when you go from 1-1 counts and you go to 1-2, slug goes down to 240. If you go to 2-1, slug goes up to 540. Well, there's a lot of missing, you know, 1-1 going to 2-1. And so when you get into those hitter-friendly counts, they just feel better. I wasn't a good hitter, but I sure liked hitting 2-1 versus 1-2. And so you just get a confidence factor. And then, you know, the mistake to Tyler O'Neill, I think, on two levels. One, obviously, missed location. But in that situation, you never want to get a first-inning rally going, but Tyler O'Neill is their best power hitter, right? He's hands down on that lineup. And when you get in that count, maybe you're better off just putting him on, like, you know, pitching around him rather than, you know, challenging him with a 3-0 fastball right there. But you know, those are the learning bumps of a pitcher. All in all, I think he battled. We saw him dominate for a few outings in a row, and then so we get accustomed to that. But being a rookie, being a kid in this league trying to find his way, I thought he kind of grinded through. It's not always going to be roses out there, and I think he'll be just fine. He didn't walk anybody. He was trying to be aggressive in the strike zone. I think the key is be aggressive from pitch one rather than waiting till you're 2-1 or 3-1 or 2-0, 1-0, because that's when hitters kind of feast on that.
We spent so much time looking at young pitchers like this who throw so hard, and I feel like sometimes we reach an inflection point. It's oftentimes based on, obviously, the roster and the needs of the team. But from a makeup perspective, Demp, like, what do you look at if you're trying to figure out, all right, is Ben Brown better in the bullpen right now, where I can just unleash him and let him go full tilt, or is he better as a starter right now? Like, aside from team needs, what would you look up in a person? Look at it in a person who's 22, 23 to help decide what role is best.
Yeah, I think you monitor what happens. It's easy to just be like, this guy's great when there's successful stuff going on and you're having good outing. You know, what's the approach today when he comes in? Was he there early? Did he get his work in? Was he crushing it in the weight room to get ready for that next start? Was he going over the video? You know, how does his next side work look? Those are the kind of things where you go, is this guy a starter or not? Not just the stuff. Obviously, stuff is important, but, you know, what is he developing and what is he continuing to do and trust in the process as far as the preparation of becoming a starting pitcher. I think that's something that a lot of, you know, good managers, good pitching coaches, they watch because, like, oh, yeah, this guy, he can't wait till his next start, you know? And I think that's really, really something that you focus on. And then just how's he attacking lineups? You know, what's he doing as far as first time through, second time through, challenging guys, going right after them? And he's been doing that. Listen, like I said, he had a little bump in the road yesterday. How does he bounce back from that? We'll find out. But all in all, he wasn't the reason they lost the game. Did he pitch well? No, but that, you know, that inning that got away where they score six and then they, you know, late, obviously that just a field goal and an extra point later on in the game. But, you know, I just think you just watch how he goes about his work.
Demp, I told this story earlier in the show. I was once at a party where, like, everybody was playing music, right? There were, like, some bunch of music friends. And Ryan Dempster's a hell of a singer, by the way, folks. But I was at a party, and somebody was playing drums, and they were just so awful. It was, like, ruining the experience for everybody. And I'm a horrific drummer, okay? Like, I'm terrible. I can't use both arms and both feet together. I'm the worst. But I realized I was a little bit better than this guy, so I bumped him. you know? And like, yeah. Imagine how bad you have to be as a drummer for me to bump him. That was my thought when Matt Mervis couldn't get out of the inning. Was like, okay, you know, it's like, poor guy. He's going out there just to wear it for an inning and he couldn't get, here comes Patrick Wisdom. So, you know, that's gotta be rough when you're a position player pitching and you can't even make it out of the inning. That's gotta be tough.
Yeah, and I, to be honest with you, like, and this isn't like, I feel bad for Merv because that happens, but like, I also love it because you know how many times I hear pitch or position players sit on the bench and go, come on, man, just throw strikes. It's like, oh, really? You think it's easy to get out there, huh? It's like me sitting here, come on, man, how do you not get the guy in from third base, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's hard, you know? And so, like, when you see that happen, it gives just a little bit of humble pie, you know? Just where it's like, okay, uh-huh. Not as easy as you think.
Yeah, how's that feel?
I just love it. But I also feel like in today's game, as we're trying to pick up pace of play and we're doing all these things, you should have the option to be able to look over the other dugout and just go, hey, man, you good? Because I'm good. You know,
like, on the game? On the whole game?
Yeah, on the game, on the whole game. I mean, at some point, you're just like, yeah, we're good, right? Like, if we're going to start throwing position players at the end of the game, we just give a wave over and be like, all right, cool, that sounds good to me.
Oh, man, I like it. I like it. Of course, like, you know, commercial revenue and other things like that are probably going to keep that from being
a factor.
Might play a factor, but I certainly like the idea. There is something beautiful, though, about getting your ass kicked 17-0 and just being able to go, well, that sucked. They got us. All right, what are we doing tomorrow? What are we doing? Like, it's something really healthy about that psychologically, I think.
Yeah, it definitely, like, they stink, and it's kind of, like, a little, in the moment, maybe a little embarrassing, because, like, yeah, 17-0, and then you get context, you know, you realize 6 runs came off Mervis, and
yeah,
all this stuff, but definitely, I always felt like, personally, those stung less than the, you know, the walk-off 4-3 loss after you're winning 3-1 going into the ninth. Like, that doesn't hurt as much because, like, there's really, like, you can look back to what the fifth inning, you know, sure, but like the ones that hurt late, those ones hang with you back night, you know, to the hotel room that night. So yeah, that's just to wipe your hands clean and let's get them on getaway day tomorrow, guys.
So Hector Neris has 3 saves and I'm, you know, it's an interesting thing to think about, dude. I believe he maxes out at 92. Right? And these days in MLB, we're so used to, he's got that splitty at like 82. We're so used to overpowering stuff from the closers. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the case, right? Like, I find myself thinking about Trevor Hoffman with a great change or Doug Jones with a great change. And like, obviously Mariano was a cutter and he's 1-of-1, but Kenley Jansen's a cutter guy who's not throwing 97, 98 and he's still going and doing his thing. Are there others I'm not thinking about off the top of your head? Like, I'm trying to think about who's closing out there is not throwing 97, 98. It doesn't have to be the way, even though we're so used to it these days, I suppose.
Yeah, I think if you got 2 of the 3 factors, if you got location and movement, you can close too. Like, you know, I remember back in, like, you talking about, like, not too long ago, Mike Williams, the closer for the Pirates, he threw 70% sliders, but man, he could command it, you know? Mm-hmm. It was late, it was tight, and it was on the corner. And if you can do that and you're throwing strikes as a closer, like, that's the number one thing every manager wants, is just somebody who comes in and throws strikes, you know? Obviously, you love the strikeout because it eliminates the possibility of the base hit. But, you know, a guy like Neris, you know, for the last few years, I mean, he's pretty steady on what he's going to do. He doesn't walk a ton of people. He throws strikes, you know, and I think, you know, that kind of plays. He strikes out guys, even though he doesn't throw incredibly hard, and that's good insurance to have. I think that's something, you know, when you're putting together a team and you sign a reliever and you already have somebody who, you know, closed for you last year, he's in place for the very reason, whether that's struggles from the current closer or injury or anything, you always want to have insurance and protection. And so having that experience, if you have 2 of the 3, like I said, you need velocity, movement, or location. 1 of those will get you in the big leagues. 2 of those, you'll be really, really good. 3 of those, you make an all-star team. So,
wow, there you go.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah, dig it. All right, Demp, this morning I was just rewatching some stuff with you in a Red Sox uniform just to sort of trigger my brain. And the satisfaction of seeing A-Rod get hit by you, I just, like, there's something I'll say. It's just these are just my words, okay? To see that preening $3 bill, it just get thrown inside on four times. Your first move after it hits him is to step off the mound towards the batter's box. Like, I'm ready. If we're going, I'm ready. You know? And of course he didn't. He didn't go. And I just got to tell you, it was phenomenal then, and I think it's even better now. I think it's even more satisfying to watch now, sir.
I think I'm more satisfied watching now just because in the moment it was pretty, you know, it was kind of blurry because you're living it and it's present time and you don't have time to reflect. But there was a lot of stuff about that. You know, I listen, the act itself, it is what it is, and I was doing it for multiple different reasons and things like that. The after effects of it were pretty awesome, right? Like, it really brought, I remember David Ortiz wanted to strangle me. He was so mad. You know, my own teammate was so mad for multiple reasons. One, him and Alex are good buddies, but two, he's like, now I'm going to get hit. He's yelling in the dugout. And I remember saying, hey, David, let's go down the tunnel. And the two of us go down the tunnel, and he's so mad, and I'm scared because he's a big human.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, hey, dude, this had to happen for so many different reasons, for so many different people. So just know that, like, you're not going to get hit, and everything's okay. And he looked at me, and he got really calm, and he gave me a hug, and he said, all right, man, we got this. Let's go. Wow. And it was just like the moment that I knew, I already knew our team was so tight, but like it just really reiterated how nobody was going to mess with us. Go, you know, nothing you can do is going to break us. And we proved that, and we just kept rolling after that. And I had the best paid 5-day vacation anybody in the big leagues has ever had. It was great.
Were teammates taking care of you, sending you dinners and stuff? Like, what did you do during those 5 days? You remember?
I went to San Francisco. I walked in the office. We flew out there Sunday after the game. That was Sunday night baseball. Monday, we played. Tuesday, I walked in. I got called in the office and told I was suspended for hitting the suspended guy. And I'm like, this is stupid. So I just said to John Farrell, I said, why don't I get out of here so we can't make this a big story in the media, and I'll disappear for 5 days. And my wife and I went to Malibu. We drove down. We went to Big Sur first, and then we stayed next door to Chelios at some house on the beach and stayed there for 3 days. And I surfed with Laird Hamilton and went around paddleboarding and just had a blast. Yeah, and then showed up Sunday night baseball and had a couple beers in the stands with Bob Tewksbury, our head of mental skills. It was great.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad I asked. That's amazing. That's so freaking perfect, dude. You had yourself that great drive down the coast. Made the most of it.
It was incredible. Stopped along the way and saw giant sea lions on the beach. We camped in Big Sur. It was awesome.
Oh, God.
And we just kept rolling. And just then we kicked the crap out of the Dodgers on Sunday night. And then we flew back to Boston. It was awesome.
Oh, that's August of 2013, and the team wins a World Series. Of course they do. I you know what I love so much about that whole thing is that you didn't get ejected. Like, Girardi comes out and goes nuts and gets ejected. And I keep thinking, you guys as marquee teammates, does that ever come up? It's like, you know, you should have got run that day, Demp.
You know, it's the one part that I like, because I like Joe a lot. And so I was like, man, you know, looking back, I felt bad, but he did what a good manager does. He stood up for his team right there and his players.
Yes.
And but yeah, it was pretty interesting that I just got a warning. Albeit, I think, you know, what's really great, Speaks, if you ever get an overhead footage of that, you know, there's a high home camera and Johnny Gomes is playing left field. But if you ever watch the video, Johnny Gomes actually beats our shortstop to the mound. He is three steps behind our shortstop as this is taking place. He knows I'm not going to go. He knows it's happening, and he just keeps creeping in and creeping in, and it's so funny. And he's like, hey, after the game, he goes, hey, Demp. And I go, what? He goes, I beat everybody there. Did you see me right behind you? I knew I had that in my corner, so I was all right.
He knew that you weren't going to risk a ball in play, that wasn't going to be happening.
Yeah, exactly.
So he didn't have to worry about positioning, and he made sure to have your back. That's beautiful. all right, Demp, you're the best, man. Nice talking to you. And again, you killed it on the weight, man. You killed it on the wait by the band. It's still it's the whole. We came in with Bob O'Reilly, which was me and Eddie, but we'll go out with the wait, which was you and Eddie and Chelios at that thing. And
oh man, so much fun! I hope we get to do something like that again. Always great talking with you, Speak.
You too. Thanks, man. Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah,
that's Ryan Dempster, who killed it on a verse of the wait at Chris Chelios's number retirement party at the United Center. He did a verse on this song by the band. Chelly did a verse on this song by the band. I did a verse on this song by the band. And then Eddie Vedder did the rest of them. So, what the hell? Demp's a good dude. All right, bring it up, Sean. We got the rest of the hour open for you at 312-644-6767. You want to hop in, you can call, you can text, and I'll get you a team of the moment before we get out of here at noon on 670 The Score.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And run Sunday mornings 9 a.m. to noon on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Of the moment, offering entertainment. The team of the moment. They caught our eye.
Make a big mistake here.
Drill deep right field. Abreu won't catch it. Goodbye, a grand slam. Jose finally has his revenge with his sixth career grand slam. And it's 5-0 Guardians.
Yes, indeed. He kept throwing.
Finally, Jose Ramirez has joined the party, and that is part of what makes the Cleveland Guardians our team of the moment. It is me, Matt Spiegel, here with you on Hit and Run, and I'm going to do this every week. Figure out which team has caught our eye, offering entertainment, and also just like hot in this particular moment of the baseball season. Do you know that the Cleveland Guardians have the best record in the American League, are the second best team in baseball behind the Atlanta Braves, and have the single best run differential in all of Major League Baseball? The Cleveland freaking Guardians, folks. They are, quote, having so much fun, unquote, says Tyler Freeman, the center fielder. There are a few things to know. One of them is that Stephen Vogt is cut from the same cloth that Terry Francona was cut from. Stephen Vogt is fun. He is passionate. He gets on his guys, but communicates really well. And Tim Kirkjian was talking about this. He knows Terry really, really well and says Vogt has a lot of Terry in him. So that is one thing. The other thing is that Josh Naylor has fully ascended to star at this point. Last night, yet again, in an Atlanta game, they've split the first two of a series right now with the Braves, the best two teams in baseball in a series. Last night, Josh Naylor responded to Jose Ramirez being intentionally walked in front of him by delivering an RBI base hit as part of a two-run rally in that 11th inning, and they would win. And he loved it. He was saying after the game, I knew that was coming. I would do that too if I were them. Set up the double play, go after me instead of Jose, and I just got to take advantage. And he did, and he has. Look at Josh Naylor's numbers when you get a chance. Absolutely been great And there are others. Stephen Kwan is trying to add power, but even if he doesn't, his contact skills are outrageous. Talked about him with Nico Horner the other day. Andres Jimenez, who came over as the main guy in the Francisco Lindor trade, he is getting it done, is Andres Jimenez. The bullpen, you know they've got Emmanuel Clase, and in front of that, they've got Hunter Gaddis. The rest of it is a little iffy, but still overall, the bullpen numbers are really good. And then the starting pitching, they lost Shane Bieber in the opening week, and they're still okay because Tanner Bibee's having a great year. Logan Allen, my guy, Dr. Sticks, Tristan McKenzie, and even Carlos Carrasco. Man, this Cleveland team is fun and interesting and good and looking like the team to beat in the American League Central. And I, for one, did not see it coming. Respect. Goodness. What is it about Cleveland?
And they're pitching, too. Look at some of these guys. Like, even like Carlos Carrasco, like, you know, like four, you know, plus four plus, you know, ERA, but eating a ton of innings. Like, that's, yeah, there's still a ton of value. And if you can go six plus, like,
I like Carrasco. I liked Carrasco as a low end starter addition for a lot of teams if people needed one. And I love Naylor. I wanted Naylor to be a Cub. When they were talking about those trade possibilities, like, how much you're going to have to give up to get Bieber. Yeah. Oh, Bieber, Naylor, and Class A. Any of the three I would have taken. Looks good not to have traded for Bieber, who is broken now. But either way, I mean, Naylor is just he's a stud, man. He's a stud. And he's, like, so passionate and edgy and brings a hell of a presence to that team. Man, it's just, Cleveland is getting it done. So they are the team of the moment for this week on Hit and Run. One more segment to go. Coming up after me, it's Mike Esposito, my guy. He will talk Bears draft from noon until 3 today. And he will take your calls and your texts. Mark Grody will join him at 2 p.m. I don't know if you heard, but the Bears have had a pretty interesting weekend. Pretty interesting draft. And Roma Dunze found out on the Parkins and Spiegel show that the record for receiving yards with the Bears is Johnny Morris with 5,000. And he said, in a career? Yes. Yes, Rome. In a career. That moment has gone a little viral. I love that. I had a friend... A friend tell me they saw it, like, on just on their random Instagram football feed in New York. Love that. And yesterday was a very big day for me personally, as my invented acronym of GUAGI, go up and get it, got some national play on ESPN, courtesy of Matt Miller. It's a whole new era for GUAGI. I've got thoughts on how to take that to the next level. You'll have to tune in to Parkins and Spiegel tomorrow, because I will not let football nor GUAGI derail our baseball conversation. Espo is up next at the top of the hour. When we come back, the latest on Jordan Wicks. Let's talk about that situation a little and what it could mean, what it might mean short term, long term. We don't know. We don't have any details yet. But we'll also set the scene for the day for both the Cubs and the White Sox as they complete series in Major League Baseball. The Cubs will be on tonight. And once again, pregame at 5:35, hosted by me. I'll be back. I'll be doing pre and post tonight after Elise Menneker did pre and post the last couple games. So I've got you at 5:35. But we'll set the baseball day for you next on Hit and Run on the Score.
In a career?
We're back with more Hit and Run.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball.
On 670 The Score.
No crying.
Now the 3-2. Out in front, swing and a miss, and a pitch in the dirt. A beautiful changeup from Wicks. Strike three, one away.
You know, Jordan Wicks has had an interesting season. He's a different pitcher than he was last year. I really enjoyed him when he came up last year. And I've been a Jordan Wicks fan and have said as much every chance that I have. I think the changeup is incredible. It's a plus-plus changeup. And he showed last year that he can use that changeup to set up the fastball, the sinking fastball, and vice versa, and can play them against a hitter You know, and it makes the other pitches better because that changeup is so good. And I don't know if you guys remember Tom Verducci talking about Jordan Wicks making a comp to Johan Santana because of the quality of the changeup. Well, that's not the pitcher Jordan Wicks has been this year. If anybody's been watching and paying close attention, Jordan Wicks has thrown harder. The velocity of the fastball has gone up, sometimes 2 miles per hour, sometimes one. He's thrown a lot of sliders, and the slider's been breaking more than usual. He's slowing the slider more than twice as much as he did last year and throwing far fewer changeups than he did last year. It's been a weird season. I want to know who's behind that change in approach for Jordan Wicks, because what it has done is have the swing and miss rate jump up. And Michael Cerami did a nice job over at Bleacher Nation writing about this morning. The whiff rate has jumped up from 9.9% to 13.9%, and the strikeout rate has risen from 16.3% to 25.9%. And that's been interesting because we know the Cubs starters lack swing and miss stuff, and it's been nice to be able to say, well, look, Jordan Wicks is showing you that. Yeah, there's Jordan Wicks, but he had some swing and miss last year, too, did Jordan Wicks. The decision to throw fewer changeups and to throw more of the sliders, which break hard, and more of the fastballs, which are going harder, now leads us to this scare, this moment that we're in, where he's got forearm tightness. And folks, forearm tightness is often a precursor to a blown out ulnar collateral ligament and the need for Tommy John surgery. It just is. Now, it could also be a precursor to, oh, there's a little damage with the ulnar collateral ligament. So we'll take a few weeks off and try to let it build back up. And we don't know which of those it's going to be. Maybe it's just forearm tightness. It's rare. Lord knows, of course, I hope it's not the UCL and Tommy John. That means he's out for the year. If it's something where he just needs a little rest and they'll reassess, then maybe we'll get more of what we're getting today, which is Hayden Wesneski in the rotation, Ben Brown staying in the rotation. The good news is that Justin Steele is making a rehab start on Wednesday. So you've got options, and we'll look to Charlotte if they need more options. But it is certainly scary, and I do wonder why Jordan Wicks has been different as a pitcher this year. And I wonder if that has contributed to this scary arm injury. Cubs tonight against the Red Sox at Fenway. It's on national television, your only local broadcast right here on 670 The Score. Tanner Houck will be on the mound for the Red Sox. Hayden Wesneski, as mentioned, for the Cubs. We don't have lineups yet, but the right-hander Houck, I assume that we will once again see Nico Hoerner in the leadoff spot against the righties and have Ian Happ down in the middle of the lineup, helping to replace some of the pop and some of the lineup lengthening capabilities of Cody Bellinger and of Seiya Suzuki. That's the way that Craig Counsell's been going, and it's been working pretty well. The righty Houck, I wonder if that means we see another start from Matt Mervis. We'll certainly see Mike Talkman, who's been doing very, very well. And hopefully Christopher Morel is healthy. That was a scary moment yesterday for Christopher Morel when he and Alexander Canario almost collided. Morel jumped over him to make the catch. We'll see if he's in the lineup. Maybe he'll DH tonight so they can avoid some of the body wear and tear that happens naturally on defense. But after the game last night, Counsell said that Christopher Morel is okay, that he was just a little startled by that interaction, and that is completely.
I think he's fine. Yeah, I think we're. He just kind of got starred a little bit, but I think he's fine.
So that's good. So Morel being fine, we'll see. I think defensively, he's been playing pretty well. He's been looking pretty comfortable there. Has Christopher Morel
starting to become a weapon, isn't it?
Yeah. You're right. In fact, there was a moment where Madrigal was at third. I guess it was Thursday. Yeah, Madrigal for defensive purposes to help lock down a game. And a guy beat out an infield hit for the Astros. And I remember thinking, you know, if Morel's out there, that's an out because of Morel's arm. And because he doesn't take that extra little step that Madrigal has to take. But so anyway, it's been pretty cool to see some development this quickly. White Sox and Rays coming up at 1:10 p.m. And you've got Zach Littell against Eric Fetty. Eric Fetty's been very good, and I knew he would be. That's been my pick for the best White
Sox
starter.
Your guy.
That is my guy indeed. And Eric Fetty will go against for Tampa to try and sweep the Rays. White Sox looking to sweep. Nicky Lopez, Tommy Pham, who's been a spark plug in center, will hit second. Gavin Sheets at first base. Eloy is in cleanup. Andrew Benintendi off the two home runs. Hits fifth. Robbie Grossman in right. Danny Mendick gets the start at third. Corey Lee's the catcher, and Braden Shoemake is your shortstop. So, look, good White Sox moment after the two wins, including the walk-off last night. It's for all you haters out there. You know who you are. 670 The Score is me. Well, it's all of us, really. Matt Spiegel is me. I'll be back at 5:35. Mike Esposito next. I've got your Cubs pre and post tonight. And, of course, your Parker the Spiegel tomorrow afternoon. Thank you to Sean Sears. Thank you to Ryan Dempster. Thank you to Ken Smaller and his book, Last Comiskey. Thank you to Steve Stone. Thank you to you, the callers and texters. What a great fun show to be back. Thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful Sunday.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the career?
We're back with more Hit and Run.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball.
On 670 The Score.
No crying.
Now the 3-2. Out in front, swing and a miss, and a pitch in the dirt. A beautiful changeup from Wicks. Strike three, one away.
You know, Jordan Wicks has had an interesting season. He's a different pitcher than he was last year. I really enjoyed him when he came up last year. And I've been a Jordan Wicks fan and have said as much every chance that I have. I think the changeup is incredible. It's a plus-plus changeup. And he showed last year that he can use that changeup to set up the fastball, the sinking fastball, and vice versa, and can play them against a hitter, you know, and it makes the other pitches better because that changeup is so good. And I don't know if you guys remember Tom Verducci talking about Jordan Wicks making a comp to Johan Santana because of the quality of the changeup. Well, that's not the pitcher Jordan Wicks has been this year. If anybody's been watching and paying close attention, Jordan Wicks has thrown harder. The velocity of the fastball has gone up, sometimes 2 miles per hour, sometimes one. He's thrown a lot of sliders, and the slider has been breaking more than usual. He's slowing the slider more than twice as much as he did last year and throwing far fewer changeups than he did last year. It's been a weird season. I want to know who's behind that change in approach for Jordan Wicks, because what it has done is have the swing and miss rate jump up. And Michael Cirami did a nice job over at Bleacher Nation writing about this morning. The whiff rate has jumped up from 9.9% to 13.9%, and the strikeout rate has risen from 16.3% to 25.9%. And that's been interesting because we know the Cubs starters lack swing and miss stuff. And it has been nice to be able to say, well, look, Jordan Wicks is showing you that. Yeah, there's Jordan Wicks. But he had some swing and miss last year, too, did Jordan Wicks. The decision to throw fewer changeups and to throw more of the sliders, which break hard, and more of the fastballs, which are going harder, now leads us to this scare, this moment that we're in, where he's got forearm tightness. And folks, forearm tightness is often a precursor to a blown out ulnar collateral ligament and the need for Tommy John surgery. It just is. Now, it could also be a precursor to, oh, there's a little damage with the ulnar collateral ligament. So we'll take a few weeks off and try to let it build back up. And we don't know which of those it's going to be. Maybe it's just forearm tightness. It's rare. Lord knows, of course, I hope it's not the UCL and Tommy John. That means he's out for the year. If it's something where he just needs a little rest and they'll reassess, then maybe we'll get more of what we're getting today, which is Hayden Wesneski in the rotation, Ben Brown staying in the rotation. The good news is that Justin Steele is making a rehab start on Wednesday. So you've got options, and we'll look to Charlotte if they need more options. But it is certainly scary, and I do wonder why Jordan Wicks has been different as a pitcher this year, and I wonder if that has contributed to this scary arm injury. Cubs tonight against the Red Sox at Fenway. It's on national television, your only local broadcast right here on 670 The Score. Tanner Houck will be on the mound for the Red Sox. Hayden Wesneski, as mentioned, for the Cubs. We don't have lineups yet, but the right-hander Houck, I assume that we will once again see Nico Hoerner in the leadoff spot against the righties and have Ian Happ down in the middle of the lineup, helping to replace some of the pop and some of the lineup lengthening capabilities of Cody Bellinger and of Seiya Suzuki. That's the way that Craig Counsell's been going, and it's been working pretty well. The righty Houck, I wonder if that means we see another start from Matt Mervis. We'll certainly see Mike Tauchman, who's been doing very, very well. And hopefully Christopher Morel is healthy. That was a scary moment yesterday for Christopher Morel when he and Alexander Canario almost collided. Morel jumped over him to make the catch. We'll see if he's in the lineup. Maybe he'll DH tonight so they can avoid some of the body wear and tear that happens naturally on defense. But after the game last night, Counsell said that Christopher Morel is okay, that he was just a little startled by that interaction, and that is completely...
I think he's fine, yeah. I think we're... He just kind of got starred a little bit, but I think he's fine.
So that's good. So Morel being fine. We'll see. I think defensively, he's been playing pretty well. He's been looking pretty comfortable there as Christopher Morel.
Your arm's starting to become a weapon, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. In fact, there was a moment where Madrigal was at third... I guess it was Thursday. Yeah, Madrigal for defensive purposes to help lock down a game. And a guy beat out an infield hit for the Astros. And I remember thinking, you know, if Morel's out there, that's an out because of Morel's arm. And because he doesn't take that extra little step that Madrigal has to take. But so anyway, it's been pretty cool to see some development this quickly. White Sox and Rays coming up at 1:10 p.m. And you've got Zach Littell against Eric Fetty. Eric Fetty's been very good, and I knew he would be. That's been my pick for the best White
Sox
starter.
Your guy.
That is my guy indeed. And Eric Fetty will go against for Tampa to try and sweep the Rays. White Sox looking to sweep. Nicky Lopez, Tommy Pham, who's been a spark plug in center, will hit second. Gavin Sheets at first base. Eloy is in cleanup. Andrew Benintendi off the two home runs. Hits fifth, Robbie Grossman in right. Danny Mendick gets the start at third. Corey Lee's the catcher, and Braden Shumake is your shortstop. So, look, good White Sox moment after the two wins, including the walk-off last night. It's for all you haters out there. You know who you are. 670 The Score is me. Well, it's all of us, really. Matt Spiegel is me. I'll be back at 5:35. Mike Esposito next. I've got your Cubs pre and post tonight. And, of course, your Parker the Spiegel tomorrow afternoon. Thank you to Sean Sears. Thank you to Ryan Dempster. Thank you to Ken Smaller and his book, Last Comiskey. Thank you to Steve Stone. Thank you to you, the callers and texters. What a great fun show to be back. Thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful Sunday.
trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.